This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Jim, you wanted to give a shout out to a friend of yours from soccer?
Yeah. Making the commute to Toyota Woodstock right now. I got this buddy's name's Renato. He was born and raised in Brazil, and he moved to Canada a few years ago, went to school. Now he's like a software guy, so he works on the software on the machines at Toyota to help build the cars.
Cool.
So the other day, I kind of told him I worked in radio, but he didn't really ask like what station or anything like that. And I've known him since the summer. And so like a week or two ago, we were driving to soccer because he lives near me and I pick him up for each indoor soccer game that we play on the same team for. And he goes, Jim, in my country, we have a saying, and it's, your ears are hot. And I said, what? He's like, yeah, it's like your ears are hot. And it means you, when somebody is talking about you, your ears are hot. I said, oh, we have the same, it's your ears are burning. It's this exact same saying. And he goes, are your ears hot? I go, what are you talking about? He's like, I've been talking about you to my friends all day. I just started listening to your morning show. It's hilarious. We listen to it on the way to work. And we were having a good laugh about that. And he's like, I really like the story you told about the guy stealing the guitar and then the employee fought him. And you said, I would have fought him too. Are you allowed to say that? I go, yeah, why? Like I said, you can't like lie about people on purpose or do slander or things like that. But you can like give your opinion. He's like, oh, man, in South America, if you say things like that on the radio, you will not get away with. The government does not like it.
So you can't say you want to beat someone up in Brazil,
know.
Which is shocking to me because they're pretty good fighters down there.
Yeah.
The Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Oh, for sure. The Gracies? They invented it, basically.
You can't say I want to beat a guy up in Brazil on the radio?
Well, there are some other laws. I guess the laws are very strict down there, and you can't talk bad about the government a lot of times either. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of, you know, not a huge surprise, unfortunately.
And you can't discuss any benefits of pubic hair on the radio.
No.
They do not.
Not in Brazil.
They do not want you promoting pubes.
Yeah, the moment you do. Policia!
Someone's at the door. What's his name?
Renato.
Renato.
Great defenseman. Plays on our team.
Nice.
Three Lions.
His ears must be hot right
now. I hope they are, buddy.
Because we're talking about you, pal. Thanks for listening, and thanks for telling all your friends at Toyota about us. We'll get back into the music. We've got Gamapalooza coming up after 7 o'clock. If you want a chance to win, is he texting you now?
Yeah, thanks, man.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Hey, it's Taz and Jim. What's going on?
Hey, man, I just had to call about your Love or Leaf contest.
Yes.
I wanted to give a shout out to give hope to all the ladies out there that are thinking about applying for this contest. I've been married for 11 years. I live and die the Leafs. I bleed blue. I would take the ring, man.
I love it. Great to hear. I'm about to get married in June. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah,
because yeah, you could have bought some hockey tickets instead of that ring, Jim.
How long did you wait to propose?
I found this girl after 25 years of losing track with her. I found her on Facebook, and so I didn't wait too long. It took me about a year.
Oh, like it was a rekindle thing. Like you knew her before, and then you're like, oh, there she is, and she's single.
I was too afraid to ask her out, and so we lost contact, and 25 years later, we were both recently split up, and we got together, we got married. Since then, we've drove our RV down to Mexico, we've sailed down the East Coast, we bought property in Roatan, so you can't let somebody go that puts up with all those kind of crazy ideas.
I love the story that you're telling us, however, I don't need my wife hearing about all the awesome stuff you're doing with your wife, because now she's going to be like, when are we going to Mexico in our RV? You never take me sailing, honey.
I'm the one that called in a couple months ago about the Pan America Highway and gave Jim a lesson.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, that's great, man. I'm glad that you made the right choice and you got a second chance at love. And that's great food for thought to anyone who may be getting a call for us with Love 'Em or Leave 'Em on Valentine's Day.
Awesome. Good luck to them all.
Yeah. That's nice, huh, Jim?
Very reassuring.
Will you love 'em or will you leave 'em? Take a hockey game or will you keep 'em? Will you love 'em or will you leave 'em?
Either way, one thing is free. Will you love them?
You've been waiting for that special someone to pop the question. We want to hear from you. Enter the contest now at fm96.com and y108.ca. Love them or leaf them. This is an interesting story. It's from a British tabloid, so take it as you would. Anything you read in a tabloid.
Especially British tabloids.
Ron Jeremy, we all know that he has been charged with dozens of sex abuse and rape charges, and he was deemed not fit to stand trial because apparently he's suffering from serious dementia, right? Well, according to British tabloids, Ron is living at a psychiatric hospital right now where he believes he's shooting a porno movie. So he is walking around there thinking he's on set.
Is this like when like an old grandpa like thinks he's in his hometown when he's not? Like that kind of dementia?
Sounds like it.
Because you go back to like a time you really remember, I think. I mean, I don't know if I believe him, but I've heard this just, I don't know many grandpas who did porno in the past.
I feel bad for the nurses.
For sure.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Heidi Fleiss is standing up for Ron Jeremy. Remember Heidi Fleiss?
The name sounds familiar, but I'm not sure.
She was the Hollywood madam.
Like the lady of the night to the stars?
Well, she was like a pimp, female pimp to the stars.
Oh, I thought she was a prostitute.
She may have. Oh, okay. I don't know. She was a big story back in the day, Heidi Fleiss. Good friends with Ron Jeremy. Standing up for him.
Those are the kind of people you want in your corner.
Heidi says, in a way, I'm glad he has dementia and doesn't have to accept the reality of this unfair thing that happened to him. I'm so glad to hear that in his mind, he thinks he's back on set and he's not absorbing what they've done to him. So Heidi thinks Ron is innocent.
I don't know. I'm getting like kind of Harvey Weinstein vibes where as soon as he goes to court, he's about to get in trouble. All of a sudden his back doesn't work and he's becomes an
he's
old man.
Yeah,
he can't talk right. Yeah, the sympathy plea.
I don't know if you've ever seen any of Ron Jeremy's films.
Surprisingly, I haven't.
He's not a good actor. So I kind of do believe he's suffering from dementia. If the court believes him, given his performances in the past,
sure.
I would say that unless he's suddenly tapped into something.
This is his opus, you know,
right?
His swan song.
Not a great actor. Taz and Jim joined by our sports guy, Devin Peacock. Hey, Dev.
Hey, guys.
Bobby Hull, NHLer, has passed away.
Yeah, Bobby Hull passing away at the age of 84, and he led an extremely interesting life in terms of hockey. He was a trailblazer in many different ways. First and foremost, he was the first player to ever score 50 goals in a season. He was the first player to ever make $1 million in a season in hockey when he went over to the WHA. And it's interesting as we have this goal-scoring record being chased down right now by Alex Ovechkin towards Wayne Gretzky. It should be noted that when you combine Hull's totals in the NHL and the WHA, he has more goals than Gretzky. Now, the WHA goal totals don't count towards your NHL totals, obviously, but he had 604 goals in the NHL, another 303 in the WHA, so over 900 goals. I mean, he was a goal scorer. That's what he was.
Primarily played with the Blackhawks and the Jets, right?
Yeah, so he played with the Blackhawks primarily, and then he played with Winnipeg very briefly in the NHL, but also Winnipeg in the WHA, and a bit of a short stint with Hartford as well.
I noticed a number of the obituaries to Bobby noted that he had a bit of a... Well, you said interesting. Is that the...
Interesting, a complicated history.
Complicated, I mean, was another word I saw used.
If you're going to tell the full story of Bobby Hull, on ice, he was a great player. Off the ice, complicated. So there was an incident in 1986 where he was convicted of assaulting a police officer who had intervened in a dispute between him and his wife at the time. Two of his wives accused him of abuse.
That's not good.
One of his, the first wife decided not to testify against him, so the charges were ultimately dropped. There was also an incident from the late 90s where, and this came out of Russia, so there's, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but he was quoted as saying, Hitler had some good ideas, he just took them too far.
Oh, boy. Another trailblazing moment for Bobby Hall. He was Kanye before Kanye.
Little known fact, before he was Bobby Hall, he was Bobbier.
Yeah, I'd say that's complicated, but great hockey player.
When you go back to what he did on the ice, he was one of the first players to really start curving his stick. Him and Stan Mikita, they really kind of revolutionized that aspect of the game. So on the ice, he was a revolutionary in many, many ways in terms of how he played and what he did on the ice. It cannot be taken away from his entire story.
Well, drop back to take it away. 5 minutes have gone by in the period. Here's Bobby Hall, his pass to Mikita. He's got Warham tearing in on the right side. Kenny Warham, a drop pass to Hall. He scores! Bobby Hall! Well, you can see the Chicago players shaking hands with the very popular Bobby Hall as he has scored his 50th goal of the season, tying a record that he has held along with Maurice Richard and Bernie Geoffrion in their days of Montreal.
Quick recap, my son accidentally slammed a door on his little sister's finger, and I made a joke, told him that her finger fell off, and he was pretty upset. I think I may have scarred him for life. So we're talking about parents who were trying to be funny, just trying to be funny, may have caused some permanent damage psychologically with their children. Tanya, you've got a story for us?
Oh, I do. Me and my husband told our 15-year-old that he was adopted because he doesn't look anything like either one of us. And he believed us, and we let it go for quite some time.
What is quite some time? An hour?
Probably 20 minutes.
Okay.
So we went into his room. He was bawling, thinking he was adopted.
Why did you do that?
Well, he doesn't really look like either one of us. And his brother does.
Yeah. My youngest sister, Jessica, doesn't look like any of her siblings. And we've always joked that she's adopted. And there's no, because she's the youngest, there's fewer pictures of her when she's a baby, right? So
that's right.
I think she still may have like a little kernel of doubt in her mind that she's biologically related to the family.
No doubt.
Your son is not adopted. If he's listening right now, would you like to apologize, Tanya?
Yes, I would. If you're listening, Ashton, Mom and Dad are sorry. You're not adopted.
Hey, who's this?
It's David.
Did you scar your kid for life?
I think I changed my kid for life. I used to razz my kid when he's younger, and now he's 7 years old. And last night, I was frustrated about something. I can't remember what it was. And then he just, without skipping a beat, looked at me and said, "Hey, why don't you go cry to your dad about it?" And he goes, "Oh, wait, you don't have one." I was flabbergasted. I couldn't believe he said that to me.
So your 7-year-old is taunting you because grandpa's dead.
No, I never knew my dad.
Oh, you never knew your dad.
An even deeper dig.
I know. And he's 7. I'm like, wow.
Do you want to be adopted? Because Tanya...
Boy, do we have a plan for you.
We got a new family for you, David.
I'll jump in on that family. Sounds great.
Yeah. See you, pal. Talking about trying to joke around with your kids and maybe traumatizing them. Like, it always seems like you should know better as a parent, but it seems to happen because the phone lines are full here. Let's go to Buzz. What did you do to your kids, Buzz?
Well, it was my daughter specifically. She was having a big spaz, and we were driving, and I just said, like, this is a distraction. So I stopped, unbuckled her, and stopped her in the snowbank, like feet first, not head first, but deep enough that she couldn't move and couldn't get out. And the entire vehicle cried. I've got 4 kids, so the 3 boys thought for sure we were leaving my daughter for certain. And now, to this day, that was 3 years ago, and to this day, everybody starts freaking out. I step on the brakes, and everybody goes quiet. Nobody wants out of the vehicle, and I don't know why, but they think we're going to throw our kids away. But
You don't know why.
It's because you almost did.
Hook, line, and sinker.
And you threatened head first next time.
Do I got to stop? And bang, it goes dead quiet because, like, yeah. one kid in the snowbank, and everybody is good now.
Thanks, Buzz. Austin, this is about your dad traumatizing you. What happened?
Oh, when my brother and I were younger, we used to go for Sunday drives or just any time, really. And my dad always thought it was funny to pull off on a back road every once in a while, and he would act like the car or truck, whatever we were driving, died. He'd get out and open the hood and slam the hood on himself and start screaming and carrying on. And
like pretend his hands were jammed in it?
Yeah, pretend like the hood fell on him and he's stuck under the hood. Now you guys are stranded. Your dad's caught in the engine.
You're buckled in. You can't get out to help.
Yeah, no, it was quite traumatizing for my brother and I. Like even to this day, this is 10 years later now, and my brother still doesn't like going down side roads with him.
And do you look forward to doing that same prank on your kids one day?
Oh, I for sure will be doing that.
Yeah, exactly. The Taz and Jim Podcast. Bet you're glad you don't have this problem. You got creepy old men showing up at your house all hours of the day looking for sex. Maybe.
Tough to
maybe
be Taz.
Maybe that is a problem you want to have. I don't know.
Who knows?
This is a story out of North Texas. A woman named Elaine. She's 66 years old, retired. Just trying to, coast through the rest of her life and enjoy...
the golden years.
The golden years, exactly. Elaine says that men randomly have been showing up for the past year at all times of the day and night on her front porch. There's been at least 25 of them.
Huh.
Young ones, old ones, all shapes and sizes. And she finally figured out what is going on here. These men are all looking for sex. She's not selling. Why are they coming to her house? Well, here she is talking to the local news.
How can a man go to a house in a neighborhood thinking they're gonna get sex? As many hookers and prostitutes are out there, go get one. Leave me alone. Some sex website that nasty old men go and look for sex. They pay Venmo for the services, and then they get my address and they come here.
Mm-hmm. So it's a Taz and Jim scam alert. If you think you're buying sex online, you may just be buying the address of some poor retired old lady.
They just picked a random address in the middle of a neighborhood. Oh, man. And they just stuck with it.
Yeah.
It's the same address.
And there's... I have friends who have told me they've seen pop-ups that say there's horny singles in my neighborhood, Jim.
Yeah. No exact addresses,
never
though.
Never seen one of those. But I've always wondered what happens if you click on one.
Yeah,
this could be it.
You'll see more. That's all you'll see then.
Well, and this is Texas, remember. So if you are one of those men who shows up to Elaine's house, you better have your running shoes on.
Yes, I have my Smith & Wesson 357 Magnum loaded 4-inch barrel next to me, and I answer the door with it.
The Taz and Jim Podcast.
Super Bowl commercials, we're starting to see some trailers or previews, I guess you'd call them, for Super Bowl commercials, including this one. Sarah McLachlan, she is a national treasure here in Canada. She's doing, it sounds like a weird fit, she's doing a Super Bowl commercial for Busch Light.
That is a combo I never thought I'd see.
The premise is it's an outdoorsy-looking guy in a plaid shirt talking about surviving outdoors, and there's a twist.
Three things are required in the great outdoors. Food, drink, and shelter.
Hello, I'm Sarah McLachlan. For just dollars a day, you can help helpless animals find shelter.
Bush. Wrong shelter, Sarah. Also, that's a wolf. Head for the mountains.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's not a dog, Sarah. That's a wolf.
I do like that in phrase. Bush.
Bush.
Cracks me up.
I can see you and your redneck buddies saying that every time you open a can.
Oh, absolutely.
Bush. Guys, listen. Bush.
It's just like the commercial.
Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters. He's teamed up, and I'm not going to say this was my idea. However, Remember we were talking about the new Crown Royal factory they're opening near Sarnia, Ontario? Yeah. And what did I say?
Dave Grohl's a huge fan of Crown Royal.
Yeah, Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters, it's a tradition before shows. They love doing shots of Crown Royal. And they should get the Foo Fighters to play at the grand opening of the Crown Royal factory in St. Clair, right? near Sarnia. We don't know whether or not that's happening. But we do know that Dave Grohl is doing a Crown Royal Super Bowl ad. This, I don't really know or understand what the premise is, but this is one of the teases they've released.
We're good? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's good? Thank you.
Dave Grohl in a recording studio standing in front of a microphone just saying thank you over and over again.
I wonder what the concept is there. Yeah. Just thanking the liquor for always being by his side?
Thank you, booze. I knew I could count on you, Crown Royal. Yeah, I do like seeing a celebrity endorse a product that they actually use.
100%. It must be a dream come true for them, too, because, I mean, I'm sure he has no money problems, but he's probably got free Crown Royal for the rest of his life. Oh, yeah. Easy.
I don't think he's ever paying for another bottle of Crown Royal.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.